Hello and welcome to the Breast Cancer Now podcast. This is a series that shares the stories of women and men who have had breast cancer. It's also where you'll hear the voices of our nurses, researchers and experts who help to provide support for today and hope for the future to anyone affected by breast cancer. In this episode, you'll be hearing a recording from one of our Facebook Lives. Breast Cancer Now's Facebook Lives are a monthly informal chat about the experiences of people with breast cancer, alongside clinical information and questions from our Facebook audience.
Hello, my name's Addy and I am one of the nurses that works for Breast Cancer Now. I'm joined tonight by Lizzie Davis, who's a cancer exercise specialist.
Hello, everybody.
Thank you for joining us tonight.
Pleasure to be here.
We're going to be talking about physical activity after a breast cancer diagnosis. And Breast Cancer Now have been lucky enough to work with the We're Undefeatable campaign, which was launched by Sport England and the Richmond Group of Charities. We are one of 15 health and social care charities that that were working with them to promote activity in long-term conditions. And it was about sort of small victories, really. But tonight, for our purpose, we're going to be talking about breast cancer treatment and trying to keep active after that. So if I can ask you, Lizzie, yeah. About what you do and how you encourage people that have breast cancer diagnosis to be active.
Okay. So I've been working with people for about 10 years now. Previous to that, I was an oncology nurse, and I work with people at all stages. All cancers, yeah. And at all stages, and really it depends on each individual as to what they want to gain from more movement, more exercise, maybe what goals they might have. Sometimes it's just about trying to manage side effects from treatment, mm-hmm. Whether that's fatigue or nausea or pain. Sometimes it's just about being functional so that you can continue to do just daily tasks around the house, which during treatment can be very, very difficult at yeah. times. So it really varies from person to person. And because of that, you know, I've learned so much through the people that I've worked with over the years. And so what I do is I kind of help to tailor a program mm-hmm. that's very much about that person's individual needs and goals, really, in terms of movement. And getting stronger and getting fitter. So it really does vary.
Yeah. So, for example, if we get a lot of calls on our helpline from people that are on hormone therapy, for instance, which can be very debilitating, absolutely. Such as osteoporosis, where the bones are thinning and they are struggling with that mm-hmm. and with pain, joint pains. Mm-hmm. What sort of things would you encourage them to do?
So again, everything will vary from person to person. Yeah. But really, I think what a lot of the evidence and what a lot of the research has been of huge value to us is that actually movement is really important.
Yes, yes.
I think sometimes it feels very counterintuitive with a lot of symptoms to hold back, to not do anything. And we now know that actually movement is medicine.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is medicine. So if you've got joint pain or joint discomfort, my recommendation would always be try to do joint range of motion exercises every day. So get the movement going through the joints so we can start lubricating the joints.
Yeah.
So trying to focus on doing that every day.
Yeah.
Often people say when they're on hormone treatment that getting out of bed and getting to the bathroom or the kitchen is that really difficult point where you feel like you're kind of start here and then you get up there. So I often get people to do some movements before they get out of bed.
Yeah.
So just waking the body up. Yeah. So maybe just kind of moving from the feet, the ankles, the knees up. So you're just almost preparing your body and your mind to get moving again. So that you don't just kind of roll out of bed and creak along the bedroom.
So quite a measured way, in a way.
A really measured way. From the bottom to the top. Yeah. So doing a bit of a kind body scan. But really, you know, we often don't actually move our joints much in the day, like really methodically.
Yeah.
So making sure you do range of motion exercises, trying to move as much as you can, whether you're walking or swimming, choosing something that you enjoy, and just working within your level of comfort. So really important. Don't do something where you're moving into pain. And so, but really the message is movement.
And it depends on the treatments also, doesn't it? Because you mentioned swimming, which is brilliant for joint pain and stretching the muscles, but it or tightening muscles. But also, if you're having chemotherapy or radiotherapy, that might not be so appropriate. So it's always... it's always important to for people to go to their specialist team or their GP and ask them if that's appropriate
for them. If it's suitable, absolutely, absolutely. Sometimes you have to kind of cherry pick the movements or the exercises that you're doing at different stages in your treatment. Yeah. So if you are on chemotherapy and you're a bit immunocompromised or you've got lines in and things like that, then maybe swimming's not the best thing.
No.
Radiotherapy, again, if you've got some skin... irritation or soreness, then the chemicals in the pool aren't going to be great. That's not to say you can't go back to doing something like swimming if you love it, but it's just it's having to kind of modify and adapt and just so that you keep moving, because we know that exercise, it's a medicine, and providing that you tailor and you you choose something that's good for you at that particular time, you'll get lots of rewards.
I mean, there are days, aren't there, when, I mean, again, we hear on our helpline that a lot of people are really frustrated because they wake up and say, I can't do X, Y, and Z, either because they have, say, breast cancer that's gone to different parts of their body, they have a secondary breast cancer diagnosis, where they might... you know, they might have a lot of fatigue and during the treatments and after the treatments, and they may have a lot of pain. And sometimes it's about accepting that some days they're not going to have that such, you know, they're not going to have that energy and that, you know, but it's about, I guess, doing what they can when they can and not feeling guilty and beating themselves up if they can't do that.
No, absolutely. I think you have to, I think the message, and certainly the message that I, try and work with the people that I've worked with and continue to work with, is just start each day as a new day. I think it's good to have a kind of an idea of what you want to kind of work towards,
a plan.
But I think start each day with a fresh set of eyes according to how you feel. And kind of, you know, if you think about your exercise as medicine, dose it. Dose that medicine according to how you feel that day, because that's when you get the accomplishments. That's when you get the little wins. And it's not about sometimes kind of gung-ho and really going for it. I always say the little wins along the way are where you get the great gains. And it really is. I think on those days, if fatigue is high or there's just a bit more pain than normal, or you just feel a little tired, and focus on some gentle stretching. Focus on deep breath work. So some relaxation breathing. So those things are wonderful for the body, wonderful for the mind. So you're still getting something. You might not be kind of doing something so more high
octane. You might feel you're not doing anything.
But you are. Oh my gosh, absolutely. You are rewarding your body and you're doing something very, very different. And that's what's really good. And I think that's where exercise, you know, if you can vary it, that's what's really important. So that kind of bit of stretching maybe one day, some, always do your deep breathing exercises. I'm mad about breath work because it's the one thing we don't do very much, and we take a lot of them and they tend to be very shallow. So you can focus on that. And then on those other days, do a bit more aerobic work or some strength work. So you're kind of mixing it up. And that's when the body really starts to absorb it all, because it feels like it's getting that medicine all the way around.
Yeah, it's a holistic thing, isn't it? Because it boosts your energy. It improves your blood pressure and your mood, of course.
And
you know, a lot of people say, even if they can get out just for a short walk in the fresh air, and they get a bit of oxygen in, and they can just do even a short and just increase that. On a daily basis, it helps them feel better.
Oh gosh, I mean, just as you said, a 10-minute stroll can be enough to dissipate stress, lower anxiety, just clear the foggy head, and rebalance the nervous system. And we all tend to kind of, we all spend a bit too much time in our fright flight. yeah. our slightly loud nervous system.
Yeah.
And sometimes we do need to get into the quieter one.
Yeah.
It's very, very nourishing
for
the body.
Can you just explain? Yeah, just explain a bit more about that. That's
so we kind of have two nervous systems, and we need both of those to keep us safe and alive.
Yeah.
But we tend to, I think with the busy world that we live in now and the kind of fast go-go tech world, we stay a little bit too much in what we call our sympathetic nervous system, so our fright flight. So we're not running from a lion running down the street anymore, but we're just kind of maybe in a low level heightened state. And actually what we need to do is just dip a little bit more into what we call our parasympathetic nervous system. So our rest and digest, the calm. And again, a gentle stroll, not necessarily a power walk, but a lovely gentle stroll through a park, connecting with nature, doing some breath work, meditating, and all of those things.
Yes.
So it is, it's a really holistic approach towards exercise and movement. And it all matters. In my eyes, it really does.
Yeah,
it
no,
all
absolutely.
Matters. And I think exercise has the capacity to exhilarate and relax.
Yeah.
It can do both.
Yeah.
It really can. So, you know, and the clarity that you get from that as well. So it's not always about the kind of the push and the dig deep, which I think is also good. I'm not going to say don't do that bit, because our heart and our lungs needs it, and our bones and our muscles. We do need to move. But it's also useful to think about the calm and the connect to give us that clarity, and it helps us make better decisions on every level. And we know that going through cancer and a diagnosis, there is so much tumbling at you. So so introducing measures to try and help with those, I think, are invaluable.
That's really good. Yeah. And we do get asked, you know, where can people go to access that help? What would you sort of say to them?
Right. I mean, there's a lot. I mean, oh gosh, there's so much now, isn't there? And I think it depends who you are, what format you like to approach. So obviously there's the charity. And sometimes now your treatment centre may have access to resources and services. So it's always worth asking your team. And if you've got, you know, a kind of a cancer area in your treatment centre, there's a lot of stuff available online now. And I think that's just fantastic. So if you can sift out through some of the rubbish, there's a lot out there. I think the other thing that's wonderful is things like YouTube. You know, there's videos that you can follow as long as it's safe and it's for your ability. But other charities as well. Walks for Health. So there's kind of local, most local councils now, they do free walks for health. You've got free park runs every weekend. So there's a lot of stuff out there. A lot of boroughs now do free bike ride things as well, and free swims. So there's actually, once you start kind of digging around, there's quite a few things that you can access. Obviously, there's Move More and things like that.
We have Breast Cancer Now. You know, have the website, and we have a lot of information on that, and we have our helpline number, and the We're Undefeatable campaign
Have
amazing. a great website as well. So, and lots of information about what you can do.
I think there's so much information now.
Yeah.
I mean, there really is. And there's so much facilitators and enablers now. So there's, and I've seen that change in the 10 years I've been doing this job, because we've now got, you know, devices that just have everything. So there's an app for just about everything. So if you quite like your apps, then you can get a breathing app, you can get a running app, or a walking app, or you know, there's so many things that can then help you to facilitate and enable you. And you know, I'm still a huge fan of having a buddy, because I think our devices are great, but there's nothing better than a human being to help
and encourage
and support, and you get them fit at the same time.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Lizzie.
Thank you
for listening to the Breast Cancer Now podcast. Make sure to subscribe to our channel on your preferred podcast service to hear our next episode. If you have any questions or concerns from listening today, you can find information on our research, services and campaigning on our website at breastcancernow.org.